The Woman Without Answers, 1984. Invited to come to the Cooper Union for a new school conference, the presence of myth in contemporary life, I asked if instead of preparing a paper, I could participate on a panel as a respondent. As the date of the conference, in October of 1984, drew near, impressive lists of speakers were issued, but I had received only one of the several papers to which I was supposed to respond, and that one was a short story, a kind of statement not ordinarily considered to need a response. I began to panic, and did what I generally do in a panic. I tried to make my situation make sense, to make it into a story. In the circumstances, inevitably, a myth. Among all the various presentations given during the 3 days of the conference, it is distinguished by being the only one not meant to be taken seriously. Nor will it be found in the handsome volume of the proceedings of the conference issued the following year, in which the subject of myth is approached from practically every direction except, perhaps, the direction coyote comes from. There was a woman from the town upriver, from where the Willamette comes into the Columbia. She wasn't so young anymore, and she said to her husband, "I'd like to go east a while and see our son who's staying there." So she started out and went east for a long way, but a short time, till she got to that island where her son was. He was doing fine there. After she saw him, she saw a big old strange house there among all the other houses, and she said, "I've heard of this place." So she went in and found a lot of people there, having a meeting, talking together. Some of them knew her and said, "Come on in, little bear woman. We're playing a game here. We tell stories, and then you have to answer what we said." She said, "All right." She was afraid of them. It was their territory, and some of them were really big people. So she said, "All right, I'll try." Then they began talking again, telling stories and telling stories about the stories, and Little Bear Woman got to feeling smaller and smaller. The ones that talked were almost all men, and they mostly talked about men, so that she wondered if there was a shortage of women in the eastern part of the country. But then she saw lots of women listening to the men talking. By then she was feeling a good deal like running away back west, but she was too old to run well, so she stayed. And besides, these people weren't malevolent. They were generous people. So she sent her mind in the six directions and back to the center and invoked her ancestors, especially those of the Boaz totem. "Please help me, ancestors. I am a respondent, and I don't know what to respond." Over there in Ilo Tempore, her ancestors said, "Listen, that one's in trouble again." And they decided to send some people across to help her. The first one came. It was Claude Lévi-Strauss, riding on a jaguar. And Claude Lévi-Strauss said, "Myths get thought. Myth thinks itself in humankind, unbeknownst to humankind. And my own work gets thought in me. It thinks itself in me, without my knowing." The woman agreed with that. Then the ancestors sent Mircea Eliade, riding on the east wind, and he said, "In myth, the cosmos is articulate. The world reveals itself as language." She agreed with that, too. Then Lao Tzu came by riding on a dragon and laughed and said nothing at all. And the woman agreed with that, too. Then finally Coyote came along. Coyote who made everything. even if maybe she didn't make it quite the way she meant to, or the way we'd like it. And she said, "What's wrong?" Little Bear Woman said, "I said I'd respond, and I have no responses."
"So what else is new?" says Coyote.
Little Bear Woman thought, "She's right. It happens all the time. The dream where I stand up to play the viola concerto, only as I stand up, it occurs to me that I have never learned to play the viola. The voice in the silence of 3 in the morning that says inside my head, 'Why did you say that to the dean's wife at dinner?' The supermarket checkout where you open your bag to pay and your wallet isn't in it. The child that asks you, 'But do the soldiers want to kill me?' The jailed poet in a foreign country whose silence asks you continually, 'How long will you, who are able to speak, be silent?' The Sphinx that asks you, 'What goes on 4 and 2 and 3 legs in Greek, and you don't speak Greek, so the Sphinx eats you? The labyrinth you can't get out of because you aren't the one with the sword and the thread. You aren't the hero, but only the monster. The animal head. The dumb one who doesn't have the answers.' 'Happens all the time,' says Coyote. 'That's what myths do. They happen all the time. Presence of myth in contemporary life, and vice versa. You are a myth who married a history, and you both have to make the best of it. Think yourself articulate. Be still. Each at the appropriate time and in the appropriate place. Have you seen any mice around this house?' 'No,' the woman said. 'I haven't seen any mice.' So Coyote went on along, and the woman without answers and the others went on playing the game according to Coyote's rules, by which you always get yourself into trouble.